Hey, welcome in here to wrap up KER Politics. Got my buddy Jose Nino on the line with me right now. Jose is a prolific writer who's starting to be a regular guest on our program. Very, very interesting guy. Jose, you wrote an article about the Supreme Court of the United States, the upcoming decision regarding abortion, the leakage of that particular information. What did you say in your article, and what's your opinion on what happened, and what's your opinion on the motive of why the leakage occurred?
Well, my take on this leak is that my assumption is that it's from a clerk that works for one of the more progressive judges on the court, and they are trying to portray themselves like a hero or something, to play the role of a hero to try to expose the supposedly reactionary Supreme Court decision.
Right.
And to me, it's a huge breach of trust in the court, because it's generally assumed that the court is apolitical and that there's mutual trust among the justices. But now, with this leak, there's a huge breach of confidence that has taken place. And as a result, we have seen a huge politicization of the courts, with all these leftist protesters protesting in front of Supreme Court justices' houses and basically trying to exert lobbying pressure on them, which is unprecedented in American history.
Yeah.
And we're entering a new phase where you're seeing more mob-style politics being used by the left to change political decisions and all of that. But if the Supreme Court does maintain its decision and follows through with this, all it's doing is basically allowing abortion policy to be dictated at the state level. There's not going to be a national ban, unlike what a lot of the fearmongers on the left are saying.
Yeah. Well, I happen to agree with you 100% on that one. The motive, I think, quite frankly, behind the leakage was, I agree with you completely, Jose, in the sense that I think basically it was simply an offensive move. We know we got primaries coming up, and we have the 2022 elections coming up. I think the progressives are coming from a very weak position right now, and they're going to need all the ammunition they could personally get. And I got to tell you, in terms of the abortion issue, which you and I have kind of discussed before, there is nothing more volatile in the United States than Roe v. Wade. And I think this is basically an offensive bomb on their part to try and get people to think that anybody, you know, that all of the Republicans were necessarily against abortion. Do you have any comment on what I just said?
Well, the idea versus Wade is that it's like, it is like a really sloppy decision. It, regardless of whether you're pro-life or pro-choice, there is very dubious jurisprudence behind it. And as a result, it federalized an issue that, in my opinion, should be dictated at the state. And really, with the way politics are going in the U.S., it makes more sense for a wedge issue like abortion to be handled at a state level, where California can dictate its own policy, whereas a state like Mississippi can have its separate policy, as opposed to having a one-size-fits-all solution. And yeah, that's, to me, the repeal of Roe v. Wade isn't really like a radical solution. It's actually a kind of compromise that allows blue states to craft their own policies and red states go their own path. But there's some people here that, especially on the left, that want to universalize everything and impose a standard on everyone.
Yep. I happen to agree with you 100%, Jose, on that one. You know, Mississippi, pardon me, Mississippi and the other states that are very pro-choice are really getting lambasted right now. And I think that's absolutely amazing. And I think it's even more amazing that the President of the United States regarding this issue is coming out with almost an atomic bomb of a salvo, which is, if R.V. Wade changes whatsoever, like goes back to the state level, you will have no choice. All you're doing is losing a certain amount of freedom. I don't see that being the case at all, Jose, do you?
No, because as I mentioned before, the abortion policies that are like present in blue states will stay the same.
Right.
And there's not going to be much changes. It's just that red states now will have like the power to regulate that activity as they see fit. Now, the thing here is that in the U.S., it's going to be much harder for the federal government to create a legislative consensus on these issues and pass, like, whether it's like a pro-life bill or a pro-choice bill at the national level. To me, what happens with a Roe versus Wade repeal is more a reflection of like the new political reality is that the U.S. is incredibly polarized on a lot of issues.
I agree 100%. We are incredibly polarized in the United States right now on a lot of political issues, and this is just one of them. But I really still am kind of thinking that it was just a huge, huge offensive salvo on the part of the progressives. Now, I'm not going to ask you how you feel about abortion, because that really doesn't make much difference. Everybody seems to have very, very dramatic opinions about that. And I would have to simply I listen to all people on this particular program, and I don't care really. I mean, I care because I have my views as a Catholic, but the fact of the matter is, I don't really. If somebody is pro-life, as far as I'm concerned, that's their business. It really is none of my business. And I wish the United States as a whole would at least consider my view, which is, you know, we have total freedom in the United States, theoretically. People can do what they want to do. I'm not going to be moralistic. I simply cannot judge a person by their actions unless their actions are totally illegal or unless they harm another, you know, human being. Your views on what I just said, Jose?
Yeah, I mean, I describe myself as like a pro-lifer, but at the same time, I do recognize the fact that it's going to be really difficult to impose like a universal pro-life standard on like the entire U.S. And my preference is to have like relatively pro-life policies at the state level, like where I'm at, like in Texas. But these questions of morality really are local and state level affairs. They shouldn't be national questions of policy debate, but because everything is so nationalized these days, that's what happens. But I do believe that we need to go back to more of the U.S.'s federalist roots and stop relying on D.C. for policy solutions.
I agree 100%. Jose, this program is appearing on, being broadcast, I should say, on a couple of dozen stations. Tell our listeners on the radio exactly what you do and how they can get your information.
Yes, I have a Substack newsletter titled Jose Nino Unfiltered, where you can follow my writings and also my podcast there called El Nino Speaks, which is also on iTunes and Spotify. In addition, I have a political newsletter on strategy and tactics for people who want to win politics. That's called The Nino File. You can subscribe to that on Patreon and Subscribestar.
This guy does an awful lot. He writes, as I said last week, on one of our podcasts. He writes for, among other institutions, Mises, great institution, the Mises Institute, presided over by my friend Jeff Deist, who's a frequent guest on this program. I have a lot of respect for Jose. Jose puts in an awful lot of time and an awful lot of thought into his newsletter and his all of the misses which he sends out. I also find his podcast, which I have listened to be very, very interesting. Jose, it's always a pleasure. Going to get you back on the air here in a couple of weeks. Thank you, sir.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.